Good evening. If you will, let's turn to John chapter 7. John chapter 7. We don't always have visitors on a Wednesday night. Most of the time it's just a few people. Those that the Lord's made faithful. But I pray every time I preach, I can preach in a manner that's as if no one in the room has ever heard of the Lord. And at the same time, I wish I could pray in a manner of comforting and just the assumption that everybody's the Lord's child. You've been saved. You're looking to Him right now. You're rejoicing in Him. That's why we came here, is to praise Him, worship Him. I can't do that. He can. He can make His word a two-edged sword, can't He? This statement we're going to look at, focus on, we'll see if we can get down to verse 39, but in John 7, 37, this is one of the most open and inviting sentences of the Scriptures to me. And it's one of the most damning. And I couldn't get over it today. I wept thinking of it. I was stand in amazement at the words of our Lord. It's absolutely amazing. His word. Look here, let's read it. John 7:37. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink." Right there's the whole gospel. That's whatever doctrine you want to take a slice at. That's it right there. Oh, I just dwelled on it and dwelled on it and dwelled on it. That's absolutely amazing. I hope the Lord will let us enter into it tonight. He said, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the Scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But he spake of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified." It says in verse 37, in the last day of what? Last day of the feast. That's where they were. They were at the Feast of Tabernacles, weren't they? And I wonder at that feast, it was 8 days long. I wonder if there were some, not all, if there was just a couple, if there was a remnant, a handful of people there that came to that feast. They came, they set up tents. They didn't have RVs back then. They had set up a tent. They didn't have a Motel 6 they could stay in. I wonder if there's a handful of people that came there looking to be blessed by the Lord and were not. Now they sat there expecting to be filled, have their spirit filled full, and they did not get a full spirit. They heard doctors get up and talk, didn't they? They heard masters of theology, masters of divinity. What nerve somebody has to call themselves that. You mastered that? You got a good handle? They got up and spoke, those men did, but nothing was different. They heard these people talk for a week. And they still lacked. They were still striving. They still had a thirst. They weren't quenched. I assume they felt very let down. If they'd spent so much time and so much money. You think how long they had to save up to travel that for? This wasn't carried to you on a silver platter. You had worked for it. There's some sweat and labor that went into this. You had to prepare. You had to set back. Several months of preparations were made. And here's the last day of that feast. The last day of that conference. You know, for us, we're in the last days. You know that? God has a well in Hamul, California right now, and I don't know how many gallons are left in it. And I ain't going to ration it. Give all the water we got until they ain't. In this world, we're in the last days. The Hebrew writer told us, "God, who at sundry time and divers manners spake in times past to the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken to us by His Son." That's who's speaking to them here. His Son's come to us. We have the word of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what his preachers declare. Christ and him crucified. I was thinking, in a sense, I have the easiest job on the face of the earth. Do you know that? To preach Christ and him crucified. I just get to tell you what happened. I just tell you what he said. Being a pastor, in a sense of decision making, in a sense, is the easiest thing there is to do. What should I do? Here's what God's word says. Throw it in the trash or do it. Don't make a difference to me. Here's what he says. That's it. Just tell what he says. But we're warned of these last days. There are going to be those that come not telling what God has said. And they're all over. They're all over. They tell you what they think. They tell you what you want to hear. They tell you what they feel. They say whatever it takes to go along and get along. And Peter warned us of that. He said, knowing this first, there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lusts. What does that mean? How do we see that manifested? What's blaringly obvious to us in our day? To just mark it and avoid it and just, ugh, I don't want to have nothing to do with that. I ate a restaurant chain one time and I got really bad food poisoning. I didn't think I had food poisoning. I mean, I was down and out for 4 days. That was 25 years ago. You know, I haven't ate that restaurant chain since. Well, of course, I can understand. You can understand that, can't you? These false teachers that come in these last days, these scoffers, people after their own lust, I have no desire for that. I've been asked personally these things, altar calls. Do you do altar calls? No, we have an altar. Let me tell you about Hebrews 13. Christ is our altar. Go to him. Well, can I come up and shake your hand? No, you lay a hold of Christ's feet. You want something to do with your hands? Grab hold of him. Be like Ruth did at Boaz. Lay there at his feet all night. Go like Mary, Martha's sister, and sit at his feet. He's the one thing needful. People ask me, so, well, do I confess my sins to you? No, you don't. You ain't sinned against me. I saw it. You've sinned against the Holy God. Go to him. How many people have I baptized? Kevin, how many people have you baptized? Everyone measures success, don't they, by these things? Basically, appearances. They judge appearances they can see. I think with Paul, for Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. Did Paul baptize? Sure he did. He wasn't there to baptize. He was there to preach the gospel. That's just a result of it, isn't it? We are in the last days, and this is a serious thing. It says in verse 37, in the last day, that great day of the feast. Why is that separated like that? That great day of the feast. We looked at before there in Leviticus 23. This 8th day was supposed to be just like the first day. This was a holy day of convocation. There was supposed to be no servile work done. You're just going to sit and relax. And you're going to prepare yourselves, as we ought to, for the word of the Lord. You ought to come in here ready. Sit down, let your heart rate calm down, and you get ready to hear. Ask God to give me a word today, Lord. Allow me to praise your son. The first day and the last day. But there's something different about that last day. It said this was a solemn assembly. It was a day of holy convocation, but a solemn assembly. What's that? There in Joel 1, the Lord sent palmer worms and locusts, and it destroyed their crops. And the congregation couldn't give a meat offering anymore. They couldn't give a drink offering. There's no wine to bring. There's no cornmeal to bring. They couldn't make up cakes. There was nothing to be offered to the house of the Lord. It wasn't possible. And his ministers mourned. And it says, he told them, he instructed them, he said, how ye ministers of the altar. Well, it gets to cry. You talk about crying out to the Lord. He says, how? Dire straits, isn't it? And he gives them instruction. He says, sanctify ye a fast. You set apart a fast. Call a solemn assembly. Gather the elders and all the inhabitants of the land of the house of the Lord your God and cry unto the Lord. There's a comma there. He tells them what to cry. It says, oh, for the day of the Lord at hand. Lord, come. You cry unto his presence. Lord, be with me. Howl. You ever howled? If you kind of whimpered a little bit, it ain't going to do you no good. You're going to have to howl. He brought you to howl for his day to come. He said it shall come. He said as the destruction of the Almighty God it shall come. Same as his destruction came with them worms or them palmer worms and those locusts. That's how fast his mercies will come. That's how fast His grace will come to His children. He said, try me. That's His word. Try me. At this feast in their text, I wonder how many cried after the Lord. I wonder how many howled for His day to come. How many at this feast cried for a solemn day of the Lord's presence with them? What are we to do in a solemn day, in our day of mourning? Cry unto the Lord. It says in Luke 19, this day is salvation come to this house for so much as He also, a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save them that are lost. Today's the day of salvation. That's what Paul summarized for us. He took Isaiah 49, Isaiah 61 and kind of made it make sense for us. He said, He saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. If I've ever called on Him, I want to call on Him tonight. Lord, I'm alive right now. Whatever happened yesterday, I need You now. Lord, let me have Your presence now. We'll see the result of that Holy Ghost. Been asked that for too. That might be another message, but when the Holy Ghost is present. I do not know how many truly had a solemn day that day, but I know our Lord cried out. I don't know how many cried out to Him, but I know He cried out to them. Would you hear Him? Could God Almighty make us stop in our tracks and hear His word? We put on funny little clothes and we have funny little sayings. Will you hear Him? You hear what He has to say? It says in verse 37, the last day, in that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried. Now He's standing. And other times He sat and spoke. Now He's standing with a loud voice. Oh, Brother Gill said that was both to show His fervor and earnestness and that all might hear. And people sitting in the back is going to hear Him. Hear what? What did He cry out? If any man, what good news? What good news? People get just hung up in the gears and axles of doctrine, and they ain't never riding a bicycle. Arminianism is all door and no house, some have said. Hyper-Calvinism is all house and no door. Thanks be to God we're not saved by a theological position or a denomination. Ain't you happy for that? Turn over to Genesis chapter 7. Genesis 7. Noah was a preacher of righteousness. Lord told us. He was a preacher of righteousness. And He told anyone that would listen, the wrath of God is coming against the sin of man. The wrath of God is coming against the sin of man. Have you ever sinned? You ever come short of the glory of God? You may want to pay attention. He told them, He said, the ark God commanded, the ark God provided, is the only way of salvation. That's the only way you're going to avoid this wrath of God you've rightly earned. Come into the ark. And they laughed at Him. They fell asleep while He told them. Snored away. And said, oh, that's all right, little buddy. Rub him on the head and walk away. He's all right. He don't know no better. He's just paranoid. And He continued. His message did not change. It had never rained on this earth. And He told all, the wrath of God's coming against the sin of man. Come into the ark. All of you come. It says in verse 7, or Genesis 7, verse 1. And the Lord said unto Noah, come. He told him to come, didn't He? Come, thou and all thy house into the ark. For thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. He tells him what will be brought of the clean and the unclean beast and the fowl. And then down in verse 4 it says, For yet seven days, and I will cause it to rain upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights. And every living substance that I have made will I destroy from off the face of the earth. For those seven days, the ark was open. That was their last days. However many people that was. I don't know if it's millions or billions or whatever. However many people that was. How many people that Noah spoke to. He told them that ark was done. It was complete and it was open. And he said, come in for 7 days. Two of every living creature walked into that ark during those 7 days. I thought about that. You think that is amazing? People want signs and wonders. Well, there goes two ducks and two lions. What's going on? Two bobcats. What's going on to that ark? Noah's message never changed. God's going to punish sin. And the only way your sin's going to is if it's punished in this ark. If you're in it and it absorbs that punishment for you, you better get in the ark. His message never changed. You think his neighbors come by and peeked inside? What's going on in there, Noah? Noah said, come in. God's going to judge everything outside this ark. Come in. Nah, we're okay. Well, we're busy. I'll come in tomorrow. We got some friends coming into town. We haven't seen in a long time. We're going to visit with them and whatever excuses they come up with. Or most likely, that's okay. It really ain't going to rain. I don't know what he's talking about. Water's never come out of the sky. It always comes up from underneath. There's a fog, a mist in the mornings. That waters the plants. What's he talking about? It's never thundered. It's never lightning. I don't know what he's talking about. It's never rained. And it probably never will. Because we haven't seen it, it couldn't come to pass. What's going on in our day? What about these last days? This earth has never been consumed with a fervent heat that melted the elements. You're crazy. I have never stood in front of a holy God in judgment. That ain't going to happen. I got out of jury duty. I've been called to jury duty on every level of court you can get called on in the state of California and federally. And somebody said, don't you know how to get out of that? That's our nature, isn't it? Get out of judgment, get out of serving anything to do with judgment. I'm going to get out of jury duty. I didn't try to get out of it. I didn't have to perform it. Everybody says, we'll just keep doing what we're doing. We're fine. It's not fine. Rain came in Noah's day while everyone was given in marriage and they were working and they were planting and they were looking for that next job. And Noah preached the word of the Lord. And I tell you, judgment's coming. Get in the ark. Any man, any woman, get in the ark. Come to Christ and drink. Any man. Verse 16 says there in Genesis 7, and they that went in male and female of all flesh, as God had commanded him. And the Lord shut him in. What's good about that? That door's been shut. In this picture we have of Christ, the ark, that door closed. But that picture's for us today. We're still on this earth. And the door, Christ, he's the door to that ark. It's still open. If any man thirst, come to Christ. Come to him. Isn't the doctrine of election in the Bible? How could Christ call this out? If any man, well, he didn't say just any man, did he? He said, if any man that thirst, any man thirst. And another part, he said, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. There's so many that aren't tired of working yet. There's so many that ain't heavy laden. There's so many that don't thirst. But we call to them regardless. I was thinking that Titanic sank. And those boats went out. And they said, who's there? And they cried to the people, call out, whistle. That didn't make anybody alive, did it? No, but those ones that were alive, they called out. They had a need. Help! Save! They had the more whistle, whistle, blow it. For many are called, but few are chosen. What is it to thirst? Said, if any man thirst, physically our Lord relates such things to us in such wonderful ways. You ever been thirsty? Yep. I've been thirsty. You ever been really thirsty? We can understand that, can't we? I mean real thirsty, not kind of thirsty. Have you ever just been dying for water that your tongue just clave to your cheek and, oh, you about fist bite somebody for a jug of water? Only water will do. Only water will do in that situation. Light beer won't do. Wine won't do. Lemonade won't do. Mountain Dew won't do. Nothing added. Nothing that coats the tongue. I can't take it. It's already coated. I need water. I need pure, clean water. And it's needful. And it's necessary. And you know it. Somebody's about to die of thirst. If they're truly about to pass out, they need water. And they know they need water. And they'll cry for it, won't they? If we didn't have a physical thirst, if we didn't have that sensation, if that wasn't our nature, that wasn't our instinct to need water, to have that craving, we would still need water, wouldn't we? We would still die without the water, even if we were ignorant of it. Even if we didn't know we was thirsty. We still have that need. What is it to be spiritually thirsty? We need Christ. His blood, His atonement for us, His righteousness. And only He will do. Nothing added to it. He's necessary, and we know it. And if you're thirsty for Him, God's given that thirst. He's given life to give that thirst. He's given the nature to thirst for Christ. And just as that's a proof of physical life, we had a little chicken hatch today. That little thing needs water. Why? How do we know it needs water? It's alive. How do I know somebody's spiritually alive? They thirst. They need Christ. They need Him. That's a blessed man or woman. Do you know that? That has a thirst for Christ. A thirst for forgiveness in Him. A thirst for mercy. A thirst for His righteousness. That means a thirst for unity with Him. Desire to be with Him. He told us that in the Beatitudes. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. How are they blessed? For they shall be filled. If somebody truly wants Him, you're going to get Him. Truly. I mean, the God. The Lord. Not a Lord. Not somebody that's convenient for you. If you truly seek and desire the Lord, He's gave that desire, that thirst, and you're going to be filled full. That's good news. Talk about somebody's thirsty. If you ever drank like that, you know what you're going to talk about after you drank it? How good that water tastes. You ain't going to go, I'm dying, give me water. Oh. You ever had Mountain Dew? I've had one in 30 years. I wonder what they taste like now. No, you talk about how good that water tastes, don't you? That's what happens after you drink that water. Turn to Mark 15. He says, if any man thirsts, if most, sadly, do not. But here's the question. Here's a question for you. Mark 15. It's not who thirsts and who doesn't thirst. That's not the question. The question is, do I thirst? You leave your mommy and daddy, you leave your children, you leave your husband and wife, and you leave your boss and your friends down at the bowling alley, whatever. You leave everybody. Do I thirst? Do I thirst? In this last day, this solemn day, do I have a need of the simplicity of Christ? Or I could drink some attitude. I could take it or leave it. That'd be handy, I guess, right now. I'll probably stock up. Or I prefer a little bit of high fructose corn syrup in it. Just, let's get something sweeten that up a little bit. I like it. Or do I have a need? If I do not crave the sincere milk of the Word, I do not crave Christ because grace hasn't been given to me yet. Peter told us that. He says, newborn babes desire the sincere miracle of the Word, that they may grow thereby, if so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. How are we going to be like a baby desiring milk if the Lord's been gracious to us? Have you tasted that? Have you tasted His grace, His mercy, His long-suffering? You want more of it. You got Mark 15, verse 42. Here's a believer, a child of God that thirsts after Christ. He has thirsted for forgiveness, he's thirsted for righteousness, and he's been filled. Yet, he thirsts, he craves, he desires to be near Christ more. Mark 15, 42. And now, when the evening was come, because it was the preparation, that is, the day before the Sabbath, Joseph of Arimathea, an honorable counselor, which also waited for the kingdom of God, came and went in boldly unto Pilate and craved the body of Jesus. He went to the ruler. This is the head man that just killed the one he was following. And he went to him and he craved the body of Jesus. This is the only place in the Word of Scripture this particular word is used. You know that? Ahithio. That means to beg, to call for, to desire, to require, to demand. I need Him. He went there for a person. There was a time I needed the 5 points of Calvinism. Do you know that? Well, I had to hear it. I loved it. That was so nice. It was so accurate. And then there was a time I needed a person. Because God done something for me. And I looked for His kingdom. And I craved it. I begged for it. I demanded it. I won't have nothing else. No. Give me Him. We would see Jesus. Do I have that thirst and craving? Do you? Back at our text, there in John 7. In the last day, verse 37, John 7, 37. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, This is the day of salvation. Our Lord stood and cried, if any man thirst, if there's any here tonight that thirst, if there's any here tonight that crave, that require the forgiveness found in Christ, require His redemption, require His righteousness, the presence of Him. Say with David, my soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. If any thirst, what are we to do? Let him come unto me and drink. That is it. Let him come unto me, drink, consume, have him as your lifeblood. Come to him. Drink. What is it to thirst? That's to need. That's to crave, desire, to require. What is it to come? That involves leaving something, doesn't it? If we come to him, if we drink him, that means we're not drinking something else. He says, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. What is it to leave labor? What is it to leave carrying heavy loads? It's to start resting, to stop working, isn't it? If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. That means stop looking for drink somewhere else. Quit trying to dig your own wells. Stop carving out your own cisterns. I love that part in Jeremiah 2. He says, for my people have committed two evils. The Lord spoke to Israel. He said, they've committed two evils. The first one, they have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters. And, here's the second one, hewed out them cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. Man tries to store up his own water. Let him come unto me. What's the result of coming unto Christ? Isaiah wrote, incline your ear and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live. What is it to come to? If you was dying in the desert of thirst, what is it to drink water? That's to live. That's life. That's satisfaction and contentment. You say thank you and take another drink. What is it to come to Christ? To have our soul live. And he says, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, the sure mercies of David. That fountain ain't going to dry up. That majestic river we are planted by, it ain't going to run dry. How can I do that? How can I come to him? How can I drink? How do I walk? Do I choose? Do I clean myself up? Do I decide? We can't do that. With man, that's impossible, isn't it? We don't have the desire to be thirsty. That's not our instinct because we're dead in trespasses. A dead man ain't never been thirsty. He's dead. The Lord told us in John 5, and you will not come to me that you might have life. We don't have a desire to, and we don't have the ability. He said, no man can come to me. I thought I said it was good news. He said, except the Father which has sent me draw him. He must draw him. And all that the Father gives me shall come to me. And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. The Lord will give life. We'll be born again, and we'll be thirsty. Our text says there in John 7:37, in the last days, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him. If you don't have a thirst for God, stay away, you'll be killed on sight. If you don't have a thirst for Jesus Christ, the Lord, you don't want to be in the Lord's presence. And judgment. You'll be killed on sight. But if you've been given a thirst, if you've been given life, he says, let him. We're allowed to come. We can come boldly to his throne. Can you imagine that? It's right. It's right to do so. But for thirsty, what should we do? Lord, I'm thirsty. Give me Christ today. Give us our daily bread. Give me water today, Lord. I wake up thirsty tomorrow and I'll need it again. He said, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Brother Clay used this illustration. I thought it was fabulous. I'm going to tell it to you. He said, what's that mean? He said, don't you drink one time? Because the Lord told that woman, said, if you drink this, you'll never thirst again. Well, which is it? He said, if someone told you, they're going to buy your groceries the rest of your life. You'll never have to buy groceries again. You'll never have to go buy another gallon of milk. It'll be provided. Every morning when you wake up, it's going to be right there on your doorstep. Everything you need, and it ain't going to run out. It doesn't matter what famine comes. You're going to have food and drink on your doorstep every morning. It doesn't matter what government official is in charge. It'll never change. There'll be a bounty on your front porch every day. You'll never have to worry about being hungry again. And they said, you eat a big supper and you get real tired and you go to sleep satisfied. But when you wake up in the morning, that food's there, but you're hungry for breakfast, ain't you? You're hungry again today. We're hungry for Him. That's what it is. We have Him. It'll never run out. It'll never run dry. Boy, I want Him more, don't you? I need His mercies new every day, every morning. It says in verse 38, He that believeth on me, as the Scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. If we drink the blood of Christ, we have eternal life. And what comes out of us? What comes out of your mouth if He gives a new heart that thirsts? Christ the living water. We tell how good that water is. We tell what life is in it, what it's done for us, how sweet it is, how faithful that well is, that fountain of living waters. We don't talk about Kool-Aid. We don't talk about Coca-Cola. We talk about Him out of our belly. We talk from a belly button. You kids get to speak from our belly button about Christ and Him crucified, His person and His work, what He's done. That blind man in John 9, Lord healed him. And he kept having shorter and shorter answers. Every echelon, they moved him up. They said, something's happened to you. You're going to church. You need to go to church. That's what they told me. They took him in, Pharisees. And everyone said, what happened? Who was this fella? How did he do this? And he kept getting shorter and shorter in his responses. And finally, he said, I was blind and now I see. So sick of you religious people. And they kicked him out. They said, get out of here. Lord heard that and went to him. And those Pharisees came out and he spoke to them and he said, for judgment I am coming to this world that they which see not might see and they which see might be made blind. We could replace all that sight with thirst, couldn't we? All those that are thirsty, he said, I'm going to fill them up. And those that ain't thirsty in their mind, I'm going to make them thirsty. And they said, some of the Pharisees unto him which heard these words and said unto him, are we blind also? Are we thirsty? I thought about starting this message out and getting up and said, what if I said, you're thirsty for God and you ain't never drank of Him? And I'd end it with saying, you're thirsty for God. You ain't never drunk of Him. You say, I'm right. Where is He? Let me come unto it. And Jesus said unto them, if you were blind, if you were thirsty, you should have no sin. But now you say, we see, therefore your sin remaineth. So many people, it's just has no thirst. Oh, if I could make them thirsty. I'll just cry out, as long as the Lord will let me drink. Come unto Him. Drink. Drink. And I said that was the whole gospel, isn't it? If any man thirst. You thirst? He says, come unto me. Not to anything else. Him. And it says, drink. Drink. My sheep, they hear my voice. He speaks to them. We all hear the word of the Lord. We hear Him. He says, my sheep will hear Him. Why? Because I know them. And what do? They follow me. They drink. They drink. So many people, they walk up and say, boy, there's a glass of water. Look at that. That's got water in it. That's H2O. We can test the water. We can see the pH of the water. We can tell you what the temperature of the water is. We can say it's wet. We can tell other people, if you need water, that's water right there. I know it's water. There's no contaminants in that. It's pure H2O. And they never drink. His sheep hear His voice. He knows them. And they drank. They drank. I pray I could be made thirsty. He'll make me thirsty today for Him. Because He shall feel. He shall feel. Amen. Father, be with us. Be with this congregation, this gathering, local assembly that You've placed here, and allow us to proclaim in this generation, in this part of the world, Christ the living waters, that living bread. Lord, and give Your children, as You've promised You will, give them a thirst and a hunger for Him. Lord, and give us the word to say, to comfort them, and tell them to come unto Your Son, and tell them to drink. Lord, make our words simple. Get us out of the way. and save your people. Thank you for this day, Lord. Thank you for giving us a thirst. Thank you for making us know it, Lord, and thank you for filling us, for quenching that thirst. Be with us today. Be with us always and forgive us for what we are. It's in Christ's name that we ask it. Amen.